Long time ago, there was a chassid of the Tzemach Tzedek, and his name was Reb Leib Botlin. His name was Leib, but they called him Reb Leib Botlin. Now, a Botlin means a person that doesn't do anything. Reb Leib, the person that doesn't do anything. Reb Leib Botlin. And Rabbi Bernstein, and how could it be if he's a chassid of the Tzemach Tzedek that he doesn't do anything? I mean, a chassid. How many boys know that now between Pesach and Shavuos, or really Pesach and Rosh Hashanah, we say Pirkei Avos? How many boys are learning Pirkei Avos? And Pirkei Avos are called Milei de Chassidusa, things of Chassidus. You know what that means? Extra things. Not just doing what you're supposed to, like in Shulchan Aruch. Pirkei Avos means you're doing even more than you're supposed to. Extra things to serve Hashem. Everything in Pirkei Avos are things that you do extra to be extra good in your behaving for Hashem. A chassid means you don't just do what you're supposed to, what you have to do, just to get it over with. You're always looking for more and more extra things to do to serve Hashem. How could Reb Leib be a chassid of the Tzemach Tzedek and he's a botlin, he doesn't do anything? How could that be?
He doesn't do anything by Gashmi.
Oh, very good answer. Reb Leib Botlin was a real chassid. He was also a big tzaddik. He was always busy in the shul, learning and davening and doing mitzvahs. What means he didn't do anything? There's two things. Neshama things, ruchnistika things, and your body things, the gashmistika things. He didn't do anything but gashmias. He was not interested in his body. You think Reb Leib Botlin was going shopping for nice clothes, fancy clothes? Didn't care. You think he was going to get himself a delicious meal? No, didn't care. He didn't care about these things. He was so busy learning and davening and doing mitzvahs, he was not involved, not busy, begashmias, in body things, or playing things, or money things, or food things, or shopping things. Shh. He was a special man. A Botlin was of a high level person. Shh. In fact, Reb Leib Botlin was so involved in Torah and davening and avodah, he never even went home except for Shabbos. Now, Rebbe, does that mean he lived far away from where he was in shul? No. He lived in the town of Dvinsk. His house was in Dvinsk, and the shul was in Dvinsk. In fact, it was down the street. But, of course, this is all with the permission of his wife, who is also on a very high level. Her husband sat and learned. Way into the night, he slept on a hard bench in the shul. He woke up in the morning and was busy learning and davening every single day. He never came home. Only Erev Shabbos, before Shabbos, he would come home and be home for Shabbos. And then after Shabbos, he would go back to the shul, the Beis HaMidrash, and be learning. This is a real Botlin. And everybody, of course, held him in the greatest respect. He was a halakha person. And some people said, he's not just a chassid, he's a tzaddik himself. Shh. Well, we'll see from this story if he was a chassid or a tzaddik or both or whatever. But Reb Leib Botlin, as we see, is a special person. Shh. Now, Reb Leib Botlin had a son. In this story, it does not say the name of his son. So instead of the whole time saying the son of Reb Leib Batlin, we're going to call him Reb David. Even though I'm not sure if it was his name, but we're at least going to give him a name just to make the story more easily told and understood. Reb Leib Batlin had a son, Reb David. He was not exactly like his father, to sit in shul every single day and night and learn and daven and do mitzvahs. He was also a good Jew, but he had a different way. Reb Leib Batlin's son, Reb David, was a big contractor. He had a different way, also keeping Torah and mitzvahs, but he had a special job that he built buildings. He got all the workers, and he had people that designed the building, and he would make sure that the building was built in the best possible way, according to all the plans and the pictures, and he would arrange all the different workers, and the wood, and the steel, and the beams, and the walls, and all the different wires, and all the different kind of things they used, and the concrete, and the cement, and the bricks, and all the different things. Now, Reb David was such a good contractor, such a good builder, that he built big buildings. Reb David's buildings became famous for being the best buildings, the strongest buildings, the nicest buildings, the most beautiful buildings, until their Russian army heard about Reb David's buildings, how good they were. And they went to inspect some of his buildings, and they saw that he was the best builder and contractor that they'd ever seen. And now the Russian army was getting ready to build, near Dvinsk, where Reb David lived, a big army base. And this army base was going to have a lot of big buildings for thousands of soldiers and all of their army stuff, like the cannons and the guns and the horses and all the army things they have and all the uniforms. And they're going to have places for the soldiers to sleep and places for the soldiers to eat and places for the soldiers to do all of their army things. And it was a big, big army base, and they hired Reb David to build the whole thing. Now, it took a long time. Finally, the whole army base was finished, and it was a very beautiful, big, excellent army base. Now, the custom was, and probably still is, all over the world even, that when you're going to have a brand new big building or a big bridge or an army base like that, you make a special party before you move in and before you start using it, because it's so special to all of a sudden move into such a place. And what they did was, they're going to have a big general or a big officer of the king, and he is going to be the main one, and plus all the soldiers are there, and they put a big ribbon on the gate, and the gate has this ribbon, and the most important officer will take a scissors, sometimes a golden scissors or a silver scissors, a fancy scissors, and he cuts the ribbon for the first time and goes in. And then everybody is going to make a parade and go in, and the marching bands are marching and blowing their trumpets and playing all their music, and everybody has now a whole big parade. And they have a big, big party to start using the army base. This is what they were planning. And they invited the big generals and big officers to come. And they're getting ready now for the big party to start using the army base. all of a sudden, just a few days before the big party, the biggest general of the army that was going to be by that army base in Dvinsk, he got a letter from the palace of the king, an official letter. The main general of the army base at Dvinsk, of course all the soldiers are getting ready to move in. They didn't go to the army base yet, but they're getting ready. Maybe they're camping out in tents out there in the fields. The post office brings a special delivery letter to their general. And it's a letter with a stamp of the king. Of course, the king was called the Tsar, and his name was Tsar Nikolai at that time. And all of a sudden, the general gets excited, and he opens up the letter, and it says, "Dear General So-and-so." I don't know if his name was So-and-so, whatever his name was. We can call him General So-and-so. "Dear General So-and-so, we have good news and a big surprise for you and all of your soldiers, because we know about the big party that's going to happen to start the army base. And it just so happens that the Tsar, the king himself, will be going on a trip near Dvinsk on that day. He will be passing by, and the king himself said that he will be at the party to cut the ribbon by the gate. So you don't have to just find a regular officer or even a big officer, because the king himself will be by the party to cut the ribbon. And of course, make sure you have a nice golden scissors, because if it's a regular officer, maybe you could have a silver scissors. The king himself, you better have a nice golden scissors prepared. And then the king will stay for the party, and he will go into the army base to see all the buildings. As soon as the general read this, he got so excited. And he told the officers, and the officers told the soldiers, and everyone was so excited. Oh, the king himself is coming to open the army base to cut the ribbon. And of course, everybody's getting ready for the party anyway, but now they got ready extra special, shining their buttons and polishing their shoes a second time, and tuning up their banjos and flutes and trumpets, whatever they do in the marching band, and cooking extra good food, and getting everything beautiful, and getting a red carpet and a golden scissors. And Mr. Shem, tomorrow we continue with a very good, brand new, excellent, interesting story. Reb David has designed the big army base near Dvinsk, and they're getting ready to make a big party. And then they just found out that the king, the Tsar Nikolai himself, is going to come to cut the ribbon, and he is going to be by the party. Oh, everyone is so excited. The cooks are cooking, and the band is tuning the banjos and the trumpets and the flutes, and they're polishing the drums, and the soldiers are polishing their uniforms and their buttons and their shoes, and the generals are putting all of their stripes and their different pins and fancy cords on their uniforms, and they're practicing their marching in line, because of course they got to show off for the king how good they are, and they're going to march in line exactly, every soldier putting his feet at the right time. Going to make a parade, and the marching band is going to march and play, and they're practicing their songs. And everybody is excited, and there's going to be big shots and fancy, important people there. And of course, the biggest officers are all going to be there, and important big shots from Dvinsk and all over are going to come. And Kinelach, of course, Reb David, who built the whole place, is also going to be there. And finally, boys, The day came of the big party. And everybody was ready. The soldiers, the generals, the officers, the marching bands. And all the food was prepared. And the golden scissors and the red carpet. And everyone is waiting now for the king, the czar himself. And from far away they heard the trumpets. Bee, 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 bee. And they look down the road and they see that the king is coming with his royal entourage. Oh, what an interesting, sophisticated word. Some people complain. Now my Bernstein, he uses these simple words on the tape. It's too simple. He's not using good English. Okay, here we go. Entourage. I think it's even French almost. Boy, will you sound good when you talk and you say, the king is coming with his royal entourage. Oh, where'd you get that word? Yeah, from Rabbi Burson's tape. Ooh, Rabbi Burson learned how to speak. And the trumpets come closer. Beep, 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 beep. Oh, the czar is coming. Oh, this is exciting. And now they see a long line of wagons. Remember when President Clinton was on Eastern Parkway? Did he come in just one car or all kinds of cars? Boy, so many cars. Who in the world they were, I don't know. I don't know if he knows either. But all kinds of, you know, Secret Service men and all kinds of special people and big shots and little shots and who knows who got in that parade with police, detectives, FBI, IRS, who knows? Who knows in President Clinton's parade? And the king has all of his important officers with secretaries and guards and bodyguards and personal secretaries and Secret Service and whoever it is. And finally, the royal entourage of the king pulls up in front of the army base, right in front of the red carpet. And all of the king's big officers come out first to get ready for the king to come out, and they line up. And the king himself, Tsar Nikolai, comes out of his wagon with his special big officer who's next to him, who does everything that he says. And of course, everybody's very excited. And the band begins to play the special music for the king. And the king is very excited. And now they say to the king, here is the beautiful new army base. And the king looks at it from far away because they're outside of the gate. The king says, this is very good. And now they give the king the golden scissors on some kind of a pillow. Who knows what it was? Fancy. And they bring the king to the ribbon by the gate. And everybody's outside. And now the king, of course, now with the special trumpets blowing and the band playing. I don't know if the band and the trumpets were playing at the same time or different times. The king cuts the ribbon, and that means everybody can go in. But they don't just run in. What, they think they run in over here? What, it's the lunchroom all of a sudden, a bunch of people come in? No, there's a whole parade the way they do it. And they set up a special throne for the king, and the soldiers are marching. And they go in. The king himself was the first one in. And now they announce to the king, after everybody was inside the big yard, we would like to give the king a tour of each building in the army base so the king sees everything exactly how it was built. Now, on this tour, not everybody was invited. Only the biggest, most special officers, important people, and big shots are going to go together with the king into each building and every room that the king wants to see. And now the king steps down from his throne, and the most important select officers and important people are walking with the king. All of a sudden, as the king notices the people going with him on the tour, and of course all the soldiers and other people that don't get to go are watching by the side, wishing they could go. The king notices. Shh. And he says to his big officer next to him, what do I see there? Something must be wrong. I see a Jew with a beard, with those kind of strings what Jews have. And he's amongst those big officers going on the tour. There must be a mistake. What is a Jew doing here? First of all, what's he doing here? And what's he doing amongst those most important people? Get him out of here. He doesn't belong here. Must be some mistake. Nobody makes a mistake by the king. And all of a sudden, the officer said to the king, I'll go find out why that Jew is there. Now, do you think the king liked Jews or didn't like Jews? Anybody know anything about Tsar Nikolai? Anybody know about him?
He's an enemy of the Jews.
Well, let's see why. Tsar Nikolai, he sends his special soldiers and officers to find Jewish boys around 7 or 8 years old. They catch them. They take them away from their family. Even the boys are crying because they want their mommies and tatties. And the soldiers take them far, far away, hundreds of miles, and put them on special, like, jail farms and make them work on these jail farms. Then they send them away in the army for 25 years and they say, you never get to go home and see your parents. And the whole reason that they should forget that they're Jews. Does this sound like a friend of the Jews or a big enemy of the Jews?
No.
No. That's right. It sounds like a big enemy of the Jews. This is Tsar Nikolai. He hated Jews. And all of a sudden, amongst the big important officers and big shots, right in front of him, he sees a Jew with a beard, with tzitzis, a yarmulke, a hat maybe. Or maybe he took off his hat, he's just wearing his yarmulke. Whatever the case that may be, the king can't believe what he's looking at. Okay, tomorrow, Mirz Hashem, we will continue with this story. By the way, who was the Yid he's looking at? Anybody know who he is? Who's that Yid? Who's that? Eliyahu Navi? Who is that?
David.
Reb David. Okay, we'll continue tomorrow, Mirz Hashem. No, Uncle, say something.
No, ich schweige. Ich muss nur schweigen. Ich kann nicht reden, das sagt. Als ich will reden, dann ist gut.
Okay. You don't want to say?
Keine.
Everyone has to be quiet. Why? Because respect for the king. The Tsar Nikolai. If you don't show respect for the king, you're finished. So you better show respect for the king and be quiet. And the party has begun. The king cut the ribbon. The trumpets blew. The king went on the red carpet. And the soldiers marched. And the marching band played. And now the king probably had some nashi with a drink. And now the king is going to be taken on a tour. What's a tour? What's a tour? He's going on a tour. What's a tour?
A trip.
Yeah, he's going on a trip. Okay, the king is going on a trip around the army base together with the most important officers, generals, big shots, and important people. And he's going to inspect himself the buildings. When all of a sudden, in the royal entourage that's going with the king, well, maybe that's not the correct word. The entourage was all the wagons coming down the road. Maybe I have used the wrong term. And the mommy's going to say, oh, at first Raya Bursa knew some good words for my son to learn instead of those simple words. But now he's misusing the word entourage, so forget about it. With the people going with the king, he sees a Jew. The king doesn't know who this is yet. He just thinks, by mistake, some kind of a Jew with a beard, with a yarmulke, with tzitzis. All of a sudden, is with these important people. And the king got very upset, and his face turned red. We haven't done that for a long time. His face turned red because he got so angry to see a Jew. And he says, who is this Jew in amongst all of these important people? What kind of a mistake is this? What is a Jew doing here? Now, he said it low that Reb David could not hear him, but Reb David saw what was happening, how the king was getting very angry looking at him. And the officer next to the king said, hey, I'll find out right away, king. Shh. And he goes and finds out, who is this Jew that is with all of these important people? What's he doing here? He's irritating the king. The king is getting upset. And they told the officer, this Jew, his name is Reb David, he is the one who built the entire army base. He is responsible for building the whole army base with all of its buildings. If not for him, we wouldn't even be here, because there would be nothing here except a big field. Oh. And this big officer goes and tells Tsar Nikolai the king, it's no mistake there's a Jew here. They say that he is the one who built the whole army base and all of the buildings. He is the contractor. And the king said, him? A Jew built this big, beautiful army base? Ooh. Now, the king was very irritated that a Jew could do such a beautiful, wonderful job and build this beautiful army base. It bothered the king. Now, the king wanted to find something wrong that he could somehow get this Jew in trouble, because he couldn't stand it that this Jew had done such a wonderful job building an army base. I guess the king just thought Jews, you know, did other things and not this. Well, now they bring the king. He just sort of left it alone for a few minutes. They brought him to the first building. And the king looks at the first building and he sees how well built, well planned, everything the best, the materials the best, everything so perfect. Such a beautiful building. Well, the king couldn't find anything wrong with it. And he went into each room. He thought, well, maybe the doors would squeak or something. The doors didn't squeak. They opened a few windows for the king. He thought maybe they wouldn't open easily. They were beautiful. They opened it so well. And the floor was so nice and well polished. And everything was just perfect. The king went from one building to another building to another building. He looked at all the different rooms until they came to the last building. The king was already, you know, boiling inside that this Jew had done such an excellent job, better than any other army base that he'd ever seen. And this is built by a Jew. It just bothered the king. Couldn't leave it alone. And they brought him to the last building, and the king looks over here at this side. Then he looks at this side. Then he looks at this side. All of a sudden, the king says, look at that wall! Everybody turns to that wall. The king is pointing to that wall. You see that wall? It's crooked. It's not straight. This wall is straight. This wall is straight. This wall is straight. This wall is crooked. A crooked wall. The building is no good. the Kinilach, listen very carefully, because something very tricky and sneaky is going on over here. As soon as Reb David heard the king say, "This wall is crooked. Who built such a building in the first place to make a crooked wall? He doesn't know what he's doing." All of a sudden, without thinking, unfortunately, Reb David said, "But king, I'm the one who built the buildings, and this building too, and the wall is not crooked, it's perfectly straight. I can show you. We can take out tools and show you how the wall is perfectly straight." Now, Kinilach, Reb David made a serious mistake. What are you supposed to do if the king, Tsar Nikolai, says the wall is crooked? What are you supposed to do? You know what you're supposed to do?
Say, right, I'm going to...
That's right, very good. You're supposed to say, yes, king, you're right. The wall is crooked, the building is no good, has to be torn down, has to be rebuilt. Whoever built it didn't know what he's doing, just like the king said.